One in eight, that's how many people have worked at McDonald's and where some have continued their career. Where graduates of McDonald's Career Online High School program are now role models leading the next generation. Where aunties, uncles, cousins, and communities learn skills they can use in every aspect of life.
Hi, welcome to McDonald's.
One in eight have worked at McDonald's, and where you start stays with you.
Welcome to Dear Young Queen, the podcast.
Hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
Welcome back.
Welcome, welcome. Hi, so good to see you.
It's the weather slightly changing around Miami. It's
That's
still
right.
Warm in Casa Lex today.
Nice and warm.
Yes.
You know, it's a home environment always.
Always. Yes. Well, got a special guest here today.
Aww.
As always.
I'm so thrilled and excited to introduce Miss Aisha Ali Parker, who's sitting here with us at Casa Lex.
That sounds like a new last name.
Ooh, yes, beautiful photographer, mother to be, friend, all tribe the, member, all of the time. Above.
Yes, yes, all the things. Sisterhood.
Yes, yes, yes.
Yep. I love that.
Absolutely. So welcome.
Thank you for having me. I love you guys. I am a champion of the Dear Young Queen movement. So I'm honored to be sitting here with you guys.
You know she's from Chicago.
Yes, yes. Chi-town.
There's nothing quite like it in my
summer
opinion.
To fall.
Yeah.
Just don't stay too late in the fall.
Nah, it's the Windy City for a reason.
That used to be my sure. AIM screen name, Miss Windy City.
Dang.
AIM, you taking it back.
Was, and you had it like... Uh-huh. You had a Z somewhere in there? Like,
nope.
Oh. Okay, was it caps, lowercase, caps, lowercase,
yes.
caps, lowercase?
No, just plain Miss Windy City, capital M, capital W, capital C.
It really wasn't MZ Windy City? I think she's lying. She's Ms. super fine now. It was definitely Ms. Windy City, yo. For sure. What part of Chicago did you grow up in?
Southside.
Huh? Southside.
So, like, I grew up in the suburbs in Olympia Fields, and then my mom moved us to the city, and I went to Morgan Park Academy, which is like... Yeah. Right on 111th and Getzy, so.
She's definitely from Chicago and I'm not.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Like, she just devalued me.
It's a fine line.
She's from the South Side.
From,
she's
like,
really.
Plainfield or some shit.
Well, I'm from the suburbs. I'm the North. That's like Schaumburg.
Okay. Yeah. I have a lot of family there. I'm actually going there next weekend for my family baby shower. I can't wait.
Beautiful. Bring me back some Garrett's, please. I like the mix.
You know what?
The
I'm
Chicago
not
mix.
This time, okay?
Thank you so much.
You know, it's actually wild. It used to be way harder to get Garrett's popcorn, and now you can,
yes.
like, order that shit
they
on
can
the
ship
internet.
It to you.
Yeah.
It's fresher when you get it in the city, though.
Yeah. And it's the experience. So, yeah. So they can yell at you and ask you what kind of mix do you want.
Best mix of Garrett popcorn is the cheese and the caramel.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's the Chicago mix.
Yeah.
Look at
Check
you.
That up.
I know. I know my stuff.
My mom worked midnights in Englewood as a Chicago police officer for like 17 years. I'm crazy.
Really? Mm-hmm. Is she still there?
She is now taking a little break. She's okay. like had some injuries on the job, but she's seen some things. My mom used to come home with like bloody knuckles, and I'd be like, I don't want to ask.
Bloody knuckles?
It's bad. They be... The worst days are like when she comes home distraught over something that happened to some babies.
Mm.
You know, it wears on them after a
yeah,
while.
Yeah, that would be tough.
After like 18 years, almost 20 years in the game, like, she's seen some things. I'm like ready for her to retire.
A female officer. What an interesting perspective.
Hold on. Take it back. A divorced Pakistani Chicago police officer that's worked midnights. And my mother used to intern for the Secret Service at one point in her life. She's like, in my phone as officer mom.
Like, straight up.
Officer mom.
Officer mom.
Was she as tough on you as you feel like she was while she
was? Oh, yeah. She brought home. She didn't know how to leave it at the door. Mm. It was like... She wanted to protect her baby. Like, naturally, yeah. like, growing up in Chicago, she had this sixth sense. And this was, like, pre-AirTag, Find My iPhone days, where she would just, like, show up places yeah. where I was at. And I'm like, how did you notice where I was
that.
Here? I'll never forget. There was this one time my brother was out of town, and I took his car out. We were, like, drag racers in high school. This was, like, early Fast and the Furious days.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Before.
And, like, his clutch was slipping. I didn't know that at the time. I knew how to drive stick, and I took it around, like, for laps, and the clutch went out. And I'm, like, in the car crying, like, what do I do? He was out of town.
I was like, what is
and
the clutch
she
out
literally,
mean? I don't even know what that means. Where is the car
so
moving?
Like,
was it still?
Yeah, like, there's three pedals when you drive a stick shift. And the third pedal, that's the clutch. When it's going out, it means, like, you can't really move the car because you can't put the car in gear.
It stalls. Like in a stall?
Essentially. It's just you can't put the car in gear because there's no friction, I guess. I don't
okay.
know. But she pulled up, like, quietly in her squad car behind me. And I'm like, oh, yes, safety, rescue. Someone's here to rescue me. No, her partner put me in cuffs. Like, you know.
Did oh, you? Like, clink, clink, clink.
Teach me a lesson. Yeah. This is Grand Theft Auto, Aisha. What are you doing?
Grand Theft Auto.
You know, I'm terrified of the police. I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to be arrested.
Listen, I say cops' kids are the worst because we get away with a lot. Like, to this day, I get pulled over. I'll be like, but my mom's a police officer. Can you please extend me a courtesy? I probably should not be saying
extend
this.
Extend me
my
a courtesy.
Gonna be, she's going to be really mad, but... No. We that's, get away with a lot. And
I
like,
have a homegirl too. Her parents worked for the NYPD for many years. Mm-hmm. The first, as soon as I got my hand on one of those PBA cards, they'll pull me over. They'll have something to say. I'll be like, excuse me, officer said to hand you this, put it underneath your license and like you hand doing, it over with your license. Oh. Like, please. But how do you know Tom? That's my best friend's dad. That's my best friend's dad.
Now, once you get a shield, that's when they really don't mess with you. Like, yeah. There's, like, baby shields that they make for family members. I don't know where mine is right now, but I need to find it. Cause...
Let us know. Yeah, but it's only good in your city that your parents works in, right?
Oh. Because remember, like, well, there's only been a few times where, like, NYPD officers were like, I don't care because she's not in New York. But yeah. I just, like, the FOP, the Fraternal Order of Police, is real wherever you go.
This episode of Dear Young Queen is presented by American Express. Listen, it's summertime, which means it's time to get outside and enjoy life to the fullest. I don't know about you, but for me, summer is the time I like to plan all my trips and get all my big events on the calendar. I'm really trying to get outside this summer, and I'm not letting this good weather go to waste. There's so many things to look forward to, and I know with American Express, it'll be that much better. Whether it's seeing my favorite artist in concert or booking that girls' trip I've been trying to plan forever, I know Amex has got my back, so I can make this my best summer yet. You're a member when every day is a new adventure. American Express, don't live without it. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex. Share your light with Michelle Obama and the Light Podcast. In this uplifting new Audible original series, Michelle Obama explores her belief that we all carry a light inside of us. Join the former First Lady as she discusses how to kindle that flame so that we can face life's challenges. Hear her connect with incredible friends and favorite personalities like Oprah Winfrey, Ellen DeGeneres, Conan O'Brien, Tyler Perry, David Letterman, and so many more special guests. In each inspirational episode, you'll hear honest and important conversations about overcoming self-doubt, building support systems, tackling issues of race, gender, and visibility, and creating pathways for progress. It's the perfect podcast for today's hectic times. Michelle Obama brings the humor, sincerity, and compassion we all need. Go high, even when the world feels low, with the former First Lady and the icons, artists, and thinkers you know and love. Listen free at the home of storytelling, audible.com/yourlight.
My mom's one of those ones that's like, she just wants to help her community and like make a change in a positive way. But like, she can be very, what's the word I'm looking for? Not aggressive, but like with me, she can be very aggressive because I'm her baby. Like,
of course.
But all my friends, everybody else, she's like a softie. Like, she loves them. They love her. Yeah. And I don't know what it is, but me and her just.
So that was that the only time you've ever been arrested?
No.
What'd you get arrested for?
I'm not going to incriminate myself.
When was the last time you were arrested?
I got a DUI in New York that she found out about towards the end of my probation. But I learned my lesson. You know, I gave up alcohol after that. But yeah.
I was in a DUI in New York also. I wasn't drinking and driving, but I left the club with a dude who was plastered city.
And he was the driver?
And he was the driver. I mean, I was drunk too, but
yes,
he was drunker.
Uber.
And there was five of us. We got in the car. I got pulled over on the West Side Highway. Mm. And I was like, don't blow, whatever you do, don't blow.
Yeah.
He got out the car and blew. I was like, oh, he's stupid.
Literally.
So he blew and they were like, well, if somebody got to take the car, then the rest of you guys are going to have to blow in order for somebody to take the car. I was like, look, taxi.
Not me.
I could get myself home.
Yeah, my mom told me after the fact. She was like, you blew? Why would you blow? I was like, I didn't know. Like,
we don't know.
You never told me that, but.
Yeah, no. By the way, if you're ever, I never suggest you drink and drive, but if you ever find yourself with a glass of wine or whatever, leaving a friend's house and they pull you over, Don't confirm it for them.
Mm-mm. Listen, Mocktail Shorty. Don't confirm it. Shout out to Lexus Mocktail that she named me because.
Yes.
This will not send us over the edge.
This will not send you over the edge.
What
correct.
Do we have here today, Lex?
This is a hibiscus lemonade spritzer. We have elder flower soda that is topped off with a little splash of lemonade and hibiscus tea.
Did you heat the tea first?
I did.
I was like, when I came in here, I could smell. It was like, smelled so good.
I made the tea first. Okay. And then make sure you have a ton of ice in your glass. That would be very important just to kind of give us a little more awakening vibe.
It's delicious.
It is.
I love me a good mocktail.
Thank you. Obviously, we're on the mocktail because sitting to our left, a mom to be.
Yes.
What you got, girl? What you got baking in there?
It's a girl.
It's a girl. Mm-hmm.
That's cute.
A little queen.
When did you find out?
August 8th is my wedding anniversary. Mm-hmm. And I was in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And like, I kid
Where'd
you not.
Where did you meet your husband?
I met him in Miami at Art Basel.
Oh, okay.
I, at the time, was pitching All-Star LA. And he, at the time, worked for a well-known watch company that was showcasing at Art Basel. And I was like, basketball players, watches.
Let's do it.
We need to know each other.
Not trying to partner them, and you ended up partnering.
Okay, so I was in Jamaica, and I may have been partaking in some local Jamaican festivities. While I was in the ocean, and I just had this feeling. I was like, something's not right. Like, my body was just telling me something's not right. And I came back from Jamaica. I didn't get my cycle. Like, I need to take a test. And it was negative. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not pregnant. And
I just feel weird.
I was supposed to travel that weekend to New York, and I thought I had food poisoning. I was just, like, throwing up. Because we came back and had, like, sushi, like, sashimi, carpaccio, everything. And I was like, okay, well, he was a little sick, too. And then I just couldn't stop going to the bathroom. And I was like, okay, something's not right. And then my girlfriend was like, you need to go to Planned Parenthood and take a high sensitivity pregnancy test. And I did.
Oh, it was, what's a high sensitivity pregnancy test?
That was great for
It's
her
like,
because
early
that.
On, it's like the at-home test won't detect it. It's too soon.
The levels of your hormones.
So
it's just way
the doctors,
more
it was the best $20 I ever spent. Like, they were like, you're pregnant. And I was like,
how much did you say it was?
$20, something like
that's
that.
That's great.
$24 max.
Mm. Insurance, no insurance. Just...
At that time, I wasn't on insurance yet, and I had my own. I had my own Jersey insurance, but I hadn't so for emergencies, but not like going to the doctor.
When you took the test, how far along did they say you were?
I was probably like 8 or 9 weeks.
Oh
yeah,
that's why your body was rejecting that sushi.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can't have that. So. That's when I found out it was early
we
on.
Don't want that.
Yeah.
I was trying to wait.
We don't want that. Not just you. Yeah. And so were you like, oh, no, we're finding out what we're having? Or was there any debate on like keeping it a secret or waiting to find out?
He really wanted to know. I was like, I could be surprised. But then like my anxiety was like, no, I need to know so I can get to planning.
She is very much strategic. Mm-hmm. And even though it wasn't planned, it's more about, okay, I need to know just for my mental. So I know, okay, it's a girl. We can pick the name and I can start decorating. And I can start just focusing on that.
Because I was buying baby J's before I knew what it was. Yeah. And like,
which is neutral.
Right. That's what I keep telling him. He was like, no, you're going to put her in ballet flats. I was like, listen, she can do both.
Actually, Aisha's gender reveal was my first gender reveal ever.
Really?
Ever. We weren't doing gender reveals when I was pregnant.
I've never actually been to a gender reveal at all.
It's my first one.
Mine, it was really like, I wanted a photo moment. And then my girlfriends were like, no, we're doing something. And then they went all out, got me balloons and cake and the whole nine yards.
How did you reveal it? And who knew? Who in your crew knew who the baby was?
So one of my dear, dear friends, like best friend since kindergarten, Nikki, she actually lives in Miami too. I actually forgot the envelope at the doctor's office, but she referred me to my doctor's office. So I was like, Nikki, I already told them that you're going to call them and ask for the envelope. And she was like, yeah, I got you. So her and my two neighbors who actually planned everything, shout out to Megany, they all knew, the three of them. I wanted like the smoke bomb moment to take a photo of. So they got me a smoke bomb. We turned that bitch three times. Like, make sure it's a girl.
Yeah. Right here, guys.
Are you sure? Okay.
We'll show the footage.
Yeah. Dag. So you At no point you didn't want it to be a surprise. You wanted Mm-mm. a girl. What about you, Lex? You knew what each of your children was going to be?
Yeah, you know, the fact that I have four and I have two and two and they literally were girl, boy, girl, boy. Mm-hmm. I started predicting them by the second pregnancy, just like how my body was changing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started picking that up and what I was eating and then also my sicknesses. So then I started predicting them. By the second, I was like, oh, that's different. Mm-hmm. So it's a, I mean, I didn't know if that was accurate or not, but mm-hmm. that was my way of learning. But with Array being the oldest, of course, I just thought that's what you do. You know, mm-hmm. you just, after you get that certain mark at what is about 12, 13, 14 weeks or so, they're like, all right, you do your testing and here we go. You take the blood test, you're officially mm-hmm. pregnant. And then we found out it was a girl. Mm-hmm. Easy. Then came Deuce. I had some different feelings. It was a total different pregnancy, but I was like, I got a boy.
So then when you had Asada, you could tell from your pregnancy that she was a girl.
Absolutely. The girls, like now, like we still fight. You know, mm-hmm. we were fighting in the womb, yeah. you know, and yeah. now we fighting now, you know, yeah. the hormones are real. Like yeah. it's yeah. an extra surge of estrogen popping mm-hmm. all up in here. So like, I noticed the difference in my skin, my hair, my complexion, just everything was different with them. And the boys were just sucking the life out of me, but they let me eat everything. But with Asada, I knew. I was like, oh, it's a girl. And yeah. then, you know, you find out later on and you're like, it's a girl.
They always say that the girls suck the beauty out of you.
My mama blames me to this day for her fupa. I'm like, lady, you could have done something about that 30 years ago.
And my girls are still sucking the beauty from me. They in my closet. They're taking the flat irons, the lip gloss, the edges is gone, missing, the brush. And, you know, so it's still, yes, they're still sucking it from me.
So did your morning sickness stop? Or you had?
It got better.
Okay.
I want to say, like, the first 5 months I was miserable. Like, I couldn't figure it out. It was like, even water wouldn't stay down. If I was drinking, like, regular Poland Springs water, I was throwing up. Oh. Only alkaline water can stay down. The things they don't tell you about pregnancy is like, yes, you Ooh. Get morning sickness, but there's, like, levels to that shit. Mm-hmm. can I curse?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, no, it was rough. It wasn't getting any better. It was just getting more and more violent. And I was like, I'm dying. I just don't know. This does not feel like I'm creating life, but I would say midway through my second trimester is like, okay, when the baby was like, okay, we can eat together now, mommy. Like,
yeah. Array didn't want me to have anything.
Really?
Yeah. And I don't know if it's because I was super young having mm-hmm. her, but I just couldn't keep anything down. So I understand. Mm-hmm. And then I had to start supplementing with like Pedialyte mm-hmm. as well as protein shakes. That's mm-hmm. what my doctor, my OB was telling me to go get because I couldn't keep anything down.
I think the first one's the worst too because your body's going through so many changes that they've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. And like, that's why they say, oh, you know, every pregnancy is different. Your second and third may not be that way because your body's like, oh, I've been here before. I can do this.
Correct.
He wants another one. I'm like, I might be one and done after this. Like, but we'll see.
I'm an advocate of back to back. I'm just going to throw that out there.
Back to back to Brooklyn because you're not doing that. Yeah.
It's easier for me to say, but mm-hmm. I'm an advocate for back to back.
My brother, he was married for like 14 years before he had his first child.
Wow.
And then he had two under two like that. And he's pulling his hair out because like one.
It's a lot. It's a lot of work.
He's
inexpensive.
As they start to get older, though, they have each other. And correct. So it's like they have easier. A playmate. It's like yeah. almost like you front load the work.
That's what everyone says.
Correct. That's what it is. Front loading the work.
Yeah. So were there beautiful? Were there any other things you're experiencing now, pregnant, that maybe they don't tell us non-pregnant folks?
Nightmares.
Really?
Oh my god, the worst nightmares. Like that's the other, interesting. There are two that like have stuck with me. One was this morning.
Stuck with you meaning like the repetitive?
No, or like
you can remember.
I can remember them vividly. Like really, one, I was on a roller coaster, but at airplane heights, and like
oh nah,
someone in front of me, I was a family member, was taking a baby out of the roller coaster seat in the middle of the air, and I'm like yelling at him, like, "What are you doing? Put the baby back." He's like, "Nah, I got it." And then the baby slips, and I'm like watching the baby fall, and I'm crying like.
In your dream.
Oh my gosh. I woke up like hyperventilating, like, yeah. What is this? Why am I seeing these nightmares? You're gonna be a terrible mom. Right? Like, I'm scared. Like, I'm not gonna do that.
Everything is heightened. Everything. Everything is heightened when you're carrying.
So scary. And then I woke up this morning, like, I was talking to my brother on DM and I called him in real life and I was like, this doesn't sound like you DMing me right now. He's like, it's not me. And I'm like, then who am I talking to? The person that was DMing me was coming to my house. So they knocked. It was not my brother. Him and my husband started beefing. He tried to touch me. Something crazy happened. And I tried to call the cops. And I was like, I have a stranger in my house. I need to get them out. They were like, call this number. Somebody will be there in 48 minutes.
Not call
like,
this
I
number.
I don't have in 48 minutes. It's like, that's what are you talking about?
Bruh.
You back on the south side of Chicago with
right?
that.
Right?
Yeah. Like, girl, no, let me tell you something. I have got to figure this out. I have called the police probably like 2 or 3 times in the past 3 months. Mm. Now, my cell phone is a 917 New York number, and I live in Jersey. They have to connect me to my local police department.
No way.
And I just don't feel like something about that is right. In an emergency,
it takes that much longer.
I don't have time to call you and you connect me to my... I never knew that. I thought it should be based on your cell phone tower or like wherever you're located, right?
Yeah.
No, twice.
So my 602, if I'm here in Miami, is might not make it.
Might not.
I still got a 708 number. Might not like, connect. they not connecting me to Chicago. That's weird.
Well, girl, first of all, it was a dream. You didn't call them anyway. Have
no,
you called?
No, touche.
Have you
I called? The last time I called the cops.
It was on the dream. Have you called the cops?
Yeah. Have not.
I'm like, damn, not only are you going to take a minute to get here, it's going to take me a minute to get connected.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I got in that fight, and the only time I got, like, literally, truly through to the police,
wait,
I got
assaulted. That fight.
I've been in a couple of fights, but I only called the police one time on a cab driver.
I bet you actually won.
The point is, I called the police in New York City, mm-hmm. and I got right through to the police in New York City.
Mm.
But in New Jersey, now twice, one
they
time,
have shot you.
I'm pretty sure the guy upstairs was beating the fuck out of his girlfriend upstairs, like...
Mm.
He was tearing her up. And so I had to call. Like, I had to call.
Yeah.
And then the other day, I was walking out of Home Depot. There was this group of guys, like, yelling and arguing, going back and forth. I was like, let me see what's happening. Because if they about to shoot the fair one, then they about to shoot the fair one. Like, they could fight. It is what it is. But if this looks like it's getting out of hand, I'm going to have to be that person. Yeah. I'm going to be that girl that calls the police.
But Karen?
I can't stand to watch young men do stupid shit that can fuck them up in ways that they don't
forever.
Understand.
Yes.
So if the police get here before one of y'all do something real dumb, then scatter. It breaks
Correct.
Up the fight.
Correct.
You know, everything's
And that
cool.
makes you yeah. feel safer, too.
100%. Like, mm-hmm. I need to mind my business, but also, you about to fuck up your whole life over something that's probably not that deep. So let me interfere.
Yeah.
Being actual behind bars is such an eye-opener. During my DUI, I was driving on a suspended license. I shouldn't have been. And I was stopped at a checkpoint in broad daylight. And they booked me. And when you drive on a suspended license with a DUI, you're doing jail time. And I had just given my HR interview at Def Jam.
Damn.
And I was sitting in a jail cell like, what the fuck am I doing here? Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing here. And as soon as I got out of that cell, I had a missed call from a 917 number. It was a voicemail from Def Jam. The boss that hired me was like, yeah, I heard your interview went well. Can you start Monday? And I was like, yes.
I think.
Yeah. I'll be here.
I'm possibly getting arraigned, but I'll let you know.
But it changed. It was like one of those like eye-opening moments where it was like, you got to make smarter decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't keep doing dumb shit because your life's about to change.
But do you feel like almost the spoiled way that you grew up, having a mother in the department, that you could always get away with things?
I couldn't get away with it in these circumstances. At the time, I wasn't using the mom card because I didn't want mom to know. So I was just going through it. Like,
yeah. Dang.
Well, you did pivot your life. And so, although we introduced you as a photographer and a friend and a wifey and a mom-to-be, you are also what I like to call the queen of the pivot.
Yeah. I love that name. Yeah.
You know, here at Dear Young Queen, this is a podcast about first and last. You got to start us at the very beginning. We want to know, what was the first job you ever had?
My first paying job was at Finish Line in Orland Park Mall. And actually, I got injured at Finish Line. This scar on my knee is from breaking my kneecap in the stock room.
Girl, did we sue?
I was about to say, wait a minute. Did you own
one? You can't sue your employer in the state of Illinois. I was on workman's comp. They paid for all my surgeries, and then I was getting a weekly check. And that's what kept me paid in college.
I had
2 scopes and 1 reconstructive surgery on my kneecap.
Behind the stock room at Finish Line.
That's wild.
I fell, took a took a bad fall, the way your bones shift, your kneecap doesn't reproduce cartilage. So, like, I fell on my face. I was gushing blood. They had to, like, shut the store down. It was bad. It was, and this was, like, summer between junior and senior year. And then that settlement came, and that held me throughout college.
Oh, that's right.
I was like, listen, this is a life-changing injury.
Yeah.
Life-changing. I've lost, like, 30% of my usage, so y'all gonna pay me for that. Ooh. But
my first paying job, though, I worked at Foot Locker.
Okay.
And our Foot Locker did not have Air Force Ones, and we used to send people to Orland Park Foot Locker because they had the Air Force Ones.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Man, that mall. I haven't been back in a really long time. I feel like I need to go back and, like, see.
Mm-hmm. To think you used to roam the halls of the mall with your homegirls.
I just want to go get a Cinnabon.
Girl, what? That's all you could afford.
That's it.
You just go in there and get some sweet Auntie Anne's pretzels.
Or right? Some pretzels. That was it. Yeah,
walking around. We used to do, though, we had this thing called Streets of Woodfield outside of the mall. Mm-hmm. And that's where the drag racing would happen and, like, all the cars.
Oh,
like,
I remember. I used to be there.
At Streets of Woodfield?
We would go to Woodfield. We would do Tinley. Like, I don't know if you know about Doty Road.
No, I don't know about Doty Road.
Doty Road was where it was at. That's where he was racing for money. But. Yeah. You needed a car that was worth raising at that time.
Yeah.
But
pre-Fast and Furious.
Well, early Fast and Furious. I had a little Acura RSX Type S. That's why then my name changed from Miss Windy City to Type Aisha.
What was it?
It was Type Aisha. It was like instead of Type S, but it was Type Aisha. And
she's not going to admit it, but it was uppercase, lowercase. I'm going to let her rock.
Walgreens knows you need your medications, but sometimes what you really need is a prescription for more time with your family or friends or just more time to do what you want on a Saturday afternoon. That's why Walgreens offers same-day prescription delivery to where you are. So you can get more than just your meds. You can get your prescription to save time at the pharmacy. And when you have pharmacy questions, which, let's face it, we all do, Walgreens will be there for you with a helpful 24/7 pharmacy chat. So when you need to know, which med do I take before bed again? Or is it safe to have a glass of wine with my prescription? You can ask a Walgreens pharmacy expert that question, no matter where you are or what time of day it is. And that gives you more than just answers. It gives you your prescription for peace of mind. Delivery is available on eligible prescriptions only. See details at walgreens.com/prescription-delivery. The inspiration from others drive us forward. Their resilience pushes us to excel, and their path navigates the way towards freedom. Ford is proud to celebrate Black history, not just this month, but year-round. They're committed to being the fuel for change by supporting Ford Fund programs centered around economic, educational, and empowerment opportunities for our communities to continue creating the future. Learn more at FordFund.org. Built Ford proud.
Part of the reason why we wanted you to come visit us on the podcast is because we really do admire the pivots that you've taken in your career.
When I moved to New York from Chicago, my dream was to work in music. But okay. Life led me into sports first, and I, like, worked in production and experiential marketing for a while. And then that call came, and I was like, Def Jam, like, hell yeah, I want to do this.
What did you do at Def Jam?
I started off as the executive assistant to the GM, EVP, okay. Mr. Faisal Durrani. He taught me so much. And then he knew that I had a knack for, like, events and production, and he was like, you're going to go do brand partnerships. Then there's the regime change. The boss that I was working with doing brand partnerships was like, I'm going to the MBPA. And you're going to come with me.
Okay.
So, like, I was like, okay, I'm going back from music to sports now, but I'm going to stay in this brand partnerships realm.
And the NBAPA, for people who don't know, is the NBA Players Association?
Yes, it's the union to the league. You know, I spent some time there, but it was, like, too corporate for my liking. That burning desire to, like, fulfill my creative side was, like, more prominent than ever.
What made you lean into photography?
I was a hobbyist. Like, I've had a camera in my hand ever since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, ever since I was a kid, my dad had me shooting on his old, like, Panasonics. Like, disposable cameras were my shit growing up. It was really meeting my husband who pushed me and was like, what are you afraid of? And I was like, I don't know enough. Like, I'm going to fail. And, like, the boss that I was working with doing brand partnerships was like, I'm going to the MBPA and you're going to come with me. Okay. So, like, I was like, okay, I'm going back from music to sports now, but I'm going to stay in this brand partnerships realm.
And the NBAPA, for people who don't know, is the NBA Players Association.
Yes, it's the union to the league. You know, I spent some time there, but it was, like, too corporate for my liking. That burning desire to, like, fulfill my creative side was, like, more prominent than ever.
What made you lean into photography?
I was a hobbyist. Like, I've had a camera in my hand ever since I was a kid. Mm-hmm. Like, ever since I was a kid, my dad had me shooting on his old, like, Panasonics. Like, disposable cameras were my shit growing up. It was really meeting my husband who pushed me and was like, what are you afraid of? And I was like, I don't know enough. Like, I'm going to fail. And, like, 2021 summer, I'm planning a wedding. August 8th was our wedding. In July, my husband got a phone call from his old director. And was like, hey, remember you said there was only one other company you would ever work for? He's like, yeah. And she's like, well, I can't say much, but I'm starting something for them in Miami. Would you be down? I need you on my team. Yeah. And I was like, there's no talking. Like, we're going. You're saying yes. And they were like, yeah, but we need you down here like September 1st.
Right now.
So I'm like, okay, August 8th. Wedding, check. August 21st, movers, check. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we were like, we're doing this.
It's interesting to me that all of these changes, that the initial spark of this was you deciding to go out and take a bet on yourself.
1,000%.
And it's in a career change.
Yeah.
I've heard this trickle effect happen with so many women who have decided to make one small change.
Yes.
And their life, make a career change, leave a man that was no good for them.
Yes.
Relocate to a new city without knowing anybody. That, it's like literally just striking the match.
You literally have to make the room in your life. Mm-hmm, and until you make that room, you don't have the space to receive what God wants for you.
Yeah.
I'm, as much as I like to encourage women to do those types of things, like, I'm not really totally built like that. Now, I can for sure always take a career bet on myself. I'm willing to do that. But, like, I've lived in the same place for 7 or 8 years now. I have not moved. People are always like, oh, when you move into LA? When you move into Miami? When you, I'm like, no, I love it in New York. I can't. Yeah. I don't want to let go. I don't want to leave.
Is it like being a creature of habit a little bit? And comfort?
I think it's for me, it's the comfort. I don't like being uncomfortable because I feel like being uncomfortable stunts other areas of my life that I feel like are going well. But it's without feeling that uncomfort, I actually don't know how well the other areas could go.
Exactly.
So I know that I'm almost in my own way a little bit.
Yes.
But there is something about, I always say that I like things to return to home. It's so like, you know, in your house, like, your dishes have a place, your knives have a place, your forks have a place. I feel like I operate best when I can always reset and return to home. And so if that home is changing or if that home is not consistent, I don't feel like I'm able to reset.
I saw a onesie the other day that said, home is where you are. Like, you'll make home
wherever,
wherever you are.
My home is an extension of who I am. And I feel like wherever I've lived in the world, Israel, New York, Phoenix, or here, you adjust and you make it what it is that it is yours that makes you comfortable.
So don't be afraid of it. Maybe change could teach you something new.
I agree.
But again, I don't know if you figure it out or if time and God just unveil it.
For sure.
You'll know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I have a first time question for you.
Okay, shoot.
Who was the first person that you feel like you cared about their well-being more than you cared about your own?
The baby in my womb, for sure. Yeah. I got a call this morning. A girlfriend of mine was supposed to come visit from New York. And she called to give me a heads up that her partner tested positive for COVID. Mm. And she was like, be honest. How do you feel? Like, I'm still negative. Ziggy's negative. But, you know, what do you think? And in that moment, I just was like, I could be like, no, it's okay, cool. I don't want you to cancel your flights. But I was like, no, I can't do that. Like, I love you, but I'm scared. I can't afford to get sick.
Yeah.
And I just, she's not even here yet. You move different. I like drive different. I've been driving scared. I actually had to give up my car, my stick, my baby. My husband's driving it now because I'm switching gears and like jerk. It's a little rougher of a ride.
Yeah.
So he was like, take my car, I'll take yours. And so I want to say definitely the baby.
Yeah, Lex, you feel like, oh yeah, you everything changes. You're like, mm-hmm. I can't smoke, I can't drink, I have to eat certain things, I can't eat certain things. Your mental changes, the way you move, and you also start following that maternal instinct just starts taking over. Mm-hmm. You overthink, you overanalyze, mm-hmm. that it's just mental, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial. You're like, oh, I can't spend this because baby's gonna need that. X, yeah. Y, and Z. Yep. So it's just so many factors when you're bringing a life into this world.
I have a girlfriend who I feel like having a baby was exactly what she needed in her life to leave a relationship that was so unhealthy. Mm. It was like, I think that the only person in her life she had ever cared about more than herself was him. And then as soon as she had that baby,
it changed.
What? She was like, only thing I care about in this world is this baby.
Yeah.
And I do sometimes feel like sometimes though that's hard for men to watch women have a shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sometimes women talk about like being jealous of how their husband is with their baby
or their daughter, for sure. Daughter, yeah.
But I think it goes both ways. It does. For a man is like, you used to make my plate first.
Yeah.
And now you make this plate first. Or you sit, you know.
Or you play with the baby more than you play with me.
Hello? Play.
He came home one day.
Listen, playing is what got us this baby. Okay. All right, sir.
He was giving the baby like tens of kisses. And then gave me one kiss before bed. I started crying. And he was like, are you serious right now? I was like, she's not even here yet. And it's starting already. Like, this isn't fair. And he was like, I can't believe you're jealous of this baby already. And I was like.
And it's your hormones too, by the way.
It was like peak hormone, like first trimester too. But I'm totally fine. I can't wait to see him be a dad, like all over again with
you're
a baby
fall
girl.
In love with him on a whole nother level.
That's why they're like, oh, you're gonna have another baby, watch.
It's all like very exciting and very intimidating at the same time. Like I can't even keep a fucking goldfish or a plant alive. Oh, so no, like the idea that you would need to keep a human, I don't think women talk about the stress of keeping a human being that cannot tell you their wants and needs alive. You're just out here playing a big-ass guessing game.
It's gambling. You're like, well, is that the cry for hunger? Is that the cry for changing the diaper? Like, or, do they like this?
Is it
or is, yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's no manual. Of course, there's many books. There is no manual. Every child is different. Every mother is different. It is on you. It is on you.
Okay, I have one book I do want to give you. I have two friends, Sienna and Ashley, who read this book when they were first-time moms. It's called On Being Baby Wise.
Okay.
And in that book, it will teach you how to sleep train your children.
Oh, yes.
That's
I need it.
A big deal.
I need it.
When big I deal. Tell you I have lots of friends with kids, the most beautiful thing in this entire world are my friends that have their children sleep trained.
I agree.
Ashley's girls put themselves in the bath and get in bed and put themselves to sleep without any adult and have been doing since they were tiny. Mm. There is no argument when it comes to nap time.
Yeah.
They lay down and they take naps. Mm-hmm. And it is a difficult training process from what I've both watched them do. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to let your kid lay there and cry. Mm-hmm. You have to build routines. So, like, this routine equals bedtime comes next.
Yes. Yeah.
But please, I think that you deserve your sanity.
Yeah,
and
I agree.
The only way I have seen women with children who have their sanity early on is when their children are sleep trained.
I agree with you, Ash. That's important.
What?
That is beyond crucial.
Yeah.
To get them down.
And for them to be able to put themselves down, but also what it instills in them as children, being able to self-soothe.
Absolutely.
To know that when things are not going my way or whatever, that I can take care of myself. I can ease my mind. It teaches them in such an incredible way. So
for
please,
sure.
My gift to you. Mm-hmm. I might Amazon it to your crib.
Thank you.
On Being Baby Wise.
Okay.
Great suggestion.
Yeah. I'm going to do it one day at some point when I have kids. Mm-hmm.
No, my girlfriend, she has a 1-year-old now. And she's like, whatever you do, make sure he does not sleep with you and your husband.
I agree.
Because her son is used to sleeping with her husband. Mm-mm. And he will not go to sleep without him. And she's like,
really?
Miserable.
So if he's not in the bed then.
Oh, no, it's a wrap.
And guess what? When it's time to go out to dinners or friends' gatherings, guess who has to put the baby to sleep every single time?
Yeah.
Even when they're 2 and 3 years old. Yep. The same person, and they want to sleep next to you, feel the warmth. That's too much.
Smell you.
Mine were bassinet and crib ASAP. I didn't play that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't play that.
I keep telling him though, like, okay, we're gonna keep the bassinet in the room for like 2 months, maybe three, mm-hmm. but then she's gotta go outside.
Yeah.
Because like what I'm not doing is having sex in front of my child. And he's like, you say that now, and I'm like,
some witnesses.
Nah. I'm like, she's gonna hear us and wake up. He's like, no, she won't. I'm like, I'm not doing this.
No, I feel like for the first couple of months, she don't know what's going on.
No, he's not. I made it clear, you're not touching me for a while. Well, you can't. But like,
you can't. You're not.
How long are you supposed to wait before you can have sex again?
6 weeks. That's what it used to be.
Yeah. Did they tell you anything?
I told him a year because I'm not doing
a
this.
A year?
I was I'm talking shit, but.
You jealous of him giving the baby kisses? You gonna be throwing that at him. You like, remember me? Remember me? You gonna definitely be throwing
I'm
it.
I'm just not trying to do that back to back business. Like, I want her talking before she
even
comes.
Breastfeeding, you can get pregnant. So just what? all those myths that they have out there. Those
they tell you you can't get pregnant, but
you can. Mm-hmm. So you just still be careful. You're now going to be fertile.
We don't have to answer this question if you don't want to. But can I ask your age?
I am 33.
Okay, so you're still young.
I have a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a lot of time.
Yeah. Definitely.
Anything's possible.
I asked because I'm now trying to hear more about these geriatric pregnancies, since I guess at this point at 35 plus what I'd be entering.
Is that considered the age now is 35?
Yes.
No.
Yes. My mom had me at 35 and my sister at 38.
Yeah. My mom had me
Listen,
at
Janet Jackson is right.
I was going to say Janet, and I have a good girlfriend who had a baby at 50.
At 50?
At 50 years old, yes.
Wow.
Herself carried and everything.
And Naomi too, right? Did I see that Naomi Campbell had a baby? Or no,
I'm bugging. I think hers was surrogate, I'm not mistaken, but I'm not sure.
Dang.
But yes, right, Janet.
Janet, let's for sure.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Jackson, if you're nasty. Yeah. Well, listen, we got Miss Parker, if you're nasty.
Miss Parker.
Thank you so much for
coming. No, thank you for having me, guys.
That.
I really appreciate this. It means a lot to me. I'm trying to get out of my little comfort zone of being behind the camera, so I appreciate this opportunity. And you mean the world to me, Lex, so anything for you.
Aw, thank you. Thank you for coming to Casa Lex and bringing your essence to us.
Blessings.